What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Right now, we're going to see Ben Garrett.
Let's do it.
As promised, we bring in Ben Garrett, who covers Ole Miss for On3. Does
misery.
It all. Actually, runs
Ole
the
misery.
Website
Ole misery.
For Ole Miss. So,
my man's already started.
That's what I'm saying. I couldn't even get to the intro.
No, I wasn't going to let him get to the intro because we was talking before the show. And like I told him, I give Ole Miss my money every month because my daughter's a sophomore there. She shamed the family. She went to Ole Miss. And now we're talking to a guy from Ole Miss. It makes me feel good because it makes me feel at home. So I'm not going to hold it against him.
Put it this way, all right? You're paying for your raising, Smoot. You paying for it, all right? You talked all that crap coming up about Ole Miss when you were playing the 2/3 of the earth covered by water, the other third covered by Smoot. Now, yeah, you having to give your money where you hate it. I love it. I think it's perfect for you at this stage of life, brother. I appreciate it.
And now I'm covering tuition. That's what happens.
thank you for the check, brother. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? I gave y'all my check for my daughter. Y'all gave us Trey Amos. Tell us what we getting in Trey Amos, because I think we getting a stud. I think we getting a dude's dude. I've been watching him at practice. He's intense. He have fun doing what he doing. And he understands the game of football. Tell us what we getting. Tell the fan base what we getting in Trey Amos.
Man, I can't say enough good things about Trey. He only spent 1 year at Ole Miss, but man, what a year it was. He was an All-American just like Walter Nolan was, who went number 17 overall to the Arizona Cardinals. And I'll be honest with you, of all of Ole Miss's draftees, and let's be honest, Ole Miss really owned the draft with the amount of guys that got taken and signed undrafted free agent contracts. I feel most confident about Trey's skill set translating immediately and stepping in and playing at a high level immediately more than most everybody else, including Walter Nolan. I just think the world of Trey Amos, because the story is fascinating. You know, he did the whole step up in the transfer portal when he left Louisiana and went to Alabama, but he didn't have the year he necessarily wanted. He was mostly relegated to nickel corner under Nick Saban and them at Alabama. As he comes to Ole Miss, where they have a need for a shutdown guy on the boundary. And when I say that he became that guy, you look at the stats analytically. I mean, teams refused to throw his way. He was completely on his own and absolutely dominated. Didn't matter who started opposite him. Really checked every box he was trying to check in this prove it year for him as he was getting ready for the NFL. So, yeah, I think the world of Trey Amos. I think that he steps into a really good situation, and no one knows corners better, in my opinion, than Dan. And I think Dan Quinn, unfortunately, I'm an Ole Miss guy talking to Smoot, and I'm a Cowboys fan on a flipping Commanders podcast. And I got to say, I like Dan Quinn when it comes to cornerbacks. The man knows them, and he knows how to get the very best out of them. I mean, I could talk about Cowboys cornerbacks that he really pulled out of. I just think it's a perfect blend and marriage of player, situation, and organization. And I have no doubt that Trey, who's already making moves, is only going to hit the ground running and really be a key piece for Washington as early as next year.
Ben, why do I like you so much? And we have so different differences, all right? Not only are you an Ole Miss guy, you a Cowboy fan. How do you continue to make these bad decisions and still be a great guy?
Well, here's the thing. You're from around the state, man. All right, do we have any pro teams in the state?
No, we don't. We don't.
No, we don't. And I'm in North Mississippi, so I didn't want to mess with the Saints. You know what I mean? When I was growing up, it was either like the Cowboys who were on TV in the 90s when they were owning everything. I mean, now that I'm old enough to appreciate it, the Cowboys have done nothing but break my heart. You know what I mean? And now, I got Laramie Tunsil over there at Washington. I got Trey Amos over there at Washington. The Giants just drafted the second of four first-round quarterbacks in Ole Miss history in Jackson Dart. The other one was Eli. I mean, it's like y'all are trying to torture me. You know what I mean? It's like, he's trying to screw with me, you know? But, yeah, like, I think the world of Trey, man. And, like, you know, it was funny when he went to the Washington in the draft. And of course he did because, again, Dan Quinn, man, he knows corners. He knows defense. And this is one, I think, one of the most ready-made, especially defensive backs, but I think defenders in this draft to step in and play. I mean, because – you already know what he is. He's a good base for what he is, right? Like, he can shut down one side of the field for you. He's crazy competitive. Yeah. And great ball skills. And, man, I think what really showed out as far as Trey in the process was Ole Miss Pro Day when all these teams came in, including Brian Schottenheimer and Matt Eberflus. And they were watching Walter Nolan and others. And then Dan Quinn and them, I mean, they're putting their eyes on Trey. He had an unbelievable, Ole Miss Pro Day, like, really just shined in every single drill. So this is a kid, man, I think Washington hit, and to get him when they did, I thought he was going to sneak into the back end of the first round. The Packers had really come after him pretty hard and shown a lot of interest in the pre-draft, and I thought that he could be an option for them. So to get them where they did, man, what a steal, in my opinion, because, again, this is a player I think is going to step in and play and not start immediately.
Ben, you mentioned how aggressive he is. And not only that, this is a guy that likes to be physical, likes to hit. Dan Quinn loves that. And watching the tape, this is a guy who's not afraid to get up and get it done on the edge and run support.
That's right. I mean, the physical nature of his, like, he does all the things you want a cornerback at this level to do well. Mm-hmm. He's got the ball skills. He can shut down a solid field. You can let him follow a team's best wide receiver. All those things are great. But really what separates and, you know, makes you among the best of the best. What makes Smoot, unfortunately, so great for so long, you know, as an Ole Miss guy watching a state guy go do his thing, you know, like he stepped up and run support. He had no problem coming up and hitting, and he invites it. He invites that contact. He's very physical at the line of scrimmage, and he defends his position really well in both sides of it, both the passing game and the running game. And I think that's one thing that separated him very early because Ole Miss – last year, like, he wasn't signed just to, oh, can you blend in with all these other transfers? Like, they had a hole for a step in and start him and be good from jump cornerback, and Trey filled that. And opposite him, it was kind of a revolving door until late in the year. So, like, it wasn't as if, yeah, he was surrounded by a ton of talent. I mean, it's one of the most talented Ole Miss teams ever. Easily the most talented in the best modern era Ole Miss defense with sacks and tackles for loss. I mean, they were terrorizing opposing quarterbacks, but really it was Trey Amos in company, right? Trey Amos is where it started because they didn't have to worry about him because he could play his position at all levels, both in run support and in defending the pass. But then also, you know, in anything that he was asked to do, he was a de facto captain with how much he was beloved by his teammates, leadership, just being that guy. I mean, you couldn't have asked for in a transfer culture where everything is completely different than the way it used to be. I got to come in, ingratiate himself in the locker room like Trey did, ingratiate himself with his teammates and his coaches, but also with his own field performance, say, this is what I'm going to do, and he went out and did it. I have no doubt that when he goes pro, that he's now pro, but like when he really gets going in the NFL, people are going to wonder how the heck did we let this kid last to the second round. I think he's that good.
Oh, most definitely. And when I look at this kid, I like to break him down more analytically, and I look at him, especially when it comes to the mental preparation to the game. Like, he's a very intelligent kid, and I think it's always overlooked when you're so athletically gifted that they don't give you credit for your mental. His mental preparation for a game, his understanding of the game, and how I watch the game slow down for him when he's playing the game, I think it's one play that I watched. And he spit out. It was not his man that they were throwing the ball to. It was in the end zone. He spit out. He came around. He picked the ball off. And I say that's film study. That has nothing to do with athletic ability. Tell us where he's at mentally.
That's exactly right, Smith. I think that's a great, great point. I mean, the guy puts in the work. He puts in the preparation. He really grew in that particular area more than he had in any other for Ole Miss last year. I mean, I think really diving into that piece of it and the analytic side and understanding what's happening in front of you and being able to cover for your teammates when they inevitably make a mistake. I mean, that's going to be a part of that's going to be something that happens in the flow of a game. You're not going to get every play right, but like you would be hard pressed to watch the film and find Trey Amos out of position. There are going to be times, but it's very, very rare. And the times he was out of position, most of the time he was trying to make a play for to cover for a teammate and try to help out, like you're talking about. I mean, he seeks the ball, he's eager for the ball, but more importantly, he's about the team construct and being exactly what his team needs him to be, and that's a dominant number one corner. And that can include having to make up for safeties who get busted over the top, doing some makeup stuff. He's got the athleticism to make up ground. He's got the ball skills to pick the ball off. But I think the stuff that you can't really measure, the film study, the understanding what's in front of you, being able to play or on the fly, go from one coverage to another just because you have to, that's Trey Amos. And he has positional versatility as well. Like, there's no doubt in my mind if you needed him to go play safety, he could.
Yeah.
But he's just really turned himself into that dominant boundary corner. And he said that coming to Ole Miss, he's like, look, last year wasn't what I wanted it to be with Alabama. Like, I took my shot, my transfer shot from Louisiana. I went over to Alabama. I'm playing for Nick Saban. And when you're made as a corner who thinks you're the best of the best into a nickel corner, there is a chip on your shoulder. But he didn't use that, in a negative way. He more or less said, all right, now I know what I got to do. And he came to Ole Miss, and part of the tremendous growth for him was the full immersion with the scheme and the blend with Pete Golding. A lot of what he was playing at Alabama, I mean, Pete Golding's at Ole Miss, very similar styles. And he really dove into the playbook to be able to become one of the smartest field generals on the field on the back end. And y'all know this better than I do. I mean, if you have that kind of brain on the back end of a defense, it's immeasurable for how important it can be for you. So, yeah, I think that's a really good point, Smoot. I mean, this is a guy who really dove into all areas of it last year to put himself in this position. And now he understands what it takes not only to be a great corner, a dominant corner, but a pro, because Ole Miss's motto is pro mindset. I mean, Lane Kiffin treats this like a professional organization. There are no hard feelings. It's about ball. And some take to it really well. Some don't take to it all that well. Trey Amos took to it in spades and turned himself into a top two round pick because the talent was always there. But can you open up the other areas of your game that make you a pro? And that's exactly what he did last year.
I hate to rub this in your face, Ben, but I came from a Chucky Mullins era. I grew up on Chucky Mullins. I grew up on – and also I have to say this. My high school, Provine High School in Jackson, Mississippi, which you know well, we gave y'all Aaron Hopper. We gave y'all Justin Reed.
God rest his soul. The Provine posse. It was him. It was David Sanders.
Yes. Justin Reed. Yes. So three players from my high school basketball team all went to Ole Miss. And me and Tommy Kelly, which were the other two basketball players, went to Mississippi State.
Oh, wow.
And we played football. That's the crazy part about it is we was all on the same team, high school basketball and football. But we all split up and went there. And Ben got the three basketball players. And Mississippi State got the two football players.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. Justin Reed and Aaron Harper and David Sanders instead of Tommy Kelly and Fred Smoot, that's a hard trade to make. I'm not sure I wouldn't have made it just because I could have put Fred Smoot opposite Ken Lucas on Deuce Romero's team. I mean, come on, man. Come on. You're letting Mississippi down, Smoot. If you just come over, man, the national championship was right there. What's wrong with you?
Ben, if you had a chance to pick between the pairing, me and Tommy Kelly are those three for the basketball team. Who are you choosing at this time in 97, 98, 99? Like, who are you choosing? Would you rather have them or would you have me and Tommy?
I'd rather have them because they made the right decision. The NCAA tournament, Justin Reed, one of the greatest Ole Miss basketball players of all time. Aaron Harper was a record setter shooting threes for Ole Miss. I'm just curious, though, like you said, you're on. Were you a hooper, too?
Yes, I was a hooper, too. Yes.
I was always Senator Taylor at Ole Miss. You could have played football and played basketball and been a dual sport legend. But instead, you had to go to the place that fun forgot. And I'm sorry.
I went to God's country. You know, when you're going to God's country, you never worry about that. You know, Jackie Sherrill, the one thing I can say about Coach Sherrill, he can sell water to a whale. He sold water to me. And I believe, and we bought into it. And don't forget, for that time, we was number one in the nation for a little bit of that time right there. We had a very dominant period of football. And this is what I can say about Mississippi football. We are only good when both teams are good. We're never good when one team is good. Like, if we can get
to
the
point. That we're talking about, like right now?
Like right now, y'all paid all that money just to lose. Y'all paid all that money just to lose last year. Y'all was not that good. We knew we was rock bottom. We understood we was rebuilding. Now, the one thing I can say is, what can we do? Because I like to help my state be great. To keep the players away from LSU, away from Alabama. Like, because I can say this about me and Deuce in that 1997 high school class. We all agreed that we were going to stay in the state of Mississippi and play football, and we ended up being two of the best teams in the nation.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. That's been like the long-held conversation or discussion or trying to figure it out for since I've been in existence, man. I mean, like keeping the best in state. If you could keep the best in state, man. But there's only one. There's two universities here. There's only one university at LSU. You know, like they go get all the Louisiana kids.
Yeah.
Florida's the SEC school in Florida, and they're going to get the dominant Florida kids. Georgia's the only school in Georgia. You can say Georgia Tech, but like Georgia, when it wants an in-state kid, it gets it. Ole Miss and state have always been competing for a smaller group of elite recruits because it's Mississippi, but so are LSU. Like Tristan Keyes is Jamar Chase 2.0.
I would say the number one wide receiver in high school football last year.
Right, and Ole Miss and Mississippi State are fighting an uphill battle for him, and it's not because Ole Miss and state haven't got proof of concept. Ole Miss, especially recently, has tremendous proof of concept. It's about the resources comparatively. And, you know, Hattiesburg, like you go down south to Mississippi, Ole Miss doesn't have much of a presence around Hattiesburg and
stuff. They don't.
Right? Like,
they don't.
Used to be state country. Like the coast is where Ole Miss would get things done. Now Ole Miss is recruiting more on a national profile. But, like, I agree with you. I think the number one way to get kids back or to keep them in state is – one, to stop the constant infighting and bullcrap and really just pursue the best and, you know, have the same kind of money commitment and facilities commitment. And for the first time, like in a long time, like both Mississippi schools are all in with, as far as wanting to win and wanting to keep the very best in the state. Not that they didn't want to, but it used to be an uneven playing field. I mean, there wasn't a way to compete with Alabama and LSU for top kids that they won for Mississippi when it was all off the books. Now that it's all above board and above the table, man, Ole Miss and state can compete in that way. Now, Ole Miss has done a little bit better because you tell Ole Miss the only thing keeping it from winning 10 games every single year is money. Say less, right? And for state, it's a little bit more of a challenge. But I think that is one of the most fascinating stories of all time. And if Ole Miss and state could just keep all the best, and if one of them could get, like, all of them one year, I would love to see, like, just the Mississippi team against the best of the rest. Because I promise you, per capita, Smoot can speak to it better, man. I'll take our 11 versus any 11 and say we might not have a quarterback. But, buddy, you're going to have some dogs everywhere else, including Smoot. At corner, who I still to this day, and now that I get to finally talk to him, say, I still can't get over the fact that you went to state, you son of a gun.
I had to do what was best for me, Ben. Don't get mad about that, but I want you to go back.
I'm not mad. I love you, man, but, like, you know, the daughter done made the right. I mean, she's the one that said, Dad, I don't think you made the right one. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, my daughter, Paris Smoot, she's there at Ole Miss, and she loves that school. She enjoys her time there. Like I told her, long as it brings out the best in you, I don't care what brings out the best in you, and Ole Miss brings out the best in her. But, Ben, I want you to go back, and I want you to look at that 1997. High school Alabama Mississippi high school football team, and it was 17 of us that made it to the NFL off of one Alabama high school football team when we played them. It was unbelievable. It was me, Ken Lucas, Taryn Metcalf, Dorsett Davis, Toby Golladay, all us. It was unbelievable. And guess what? We lost to Alabama 7-0, and Romero was our quarterback. And we lost.
From Shannon, Mississippi,
Shannon, Mississippi, and he lost the game for us. Congratulations.
Well, Tommy Tuberville, the greatest hitter of all time, would have gotten Fred Smoot on the roster. That's what I thought would happen, you know, but Jackie Sherrill, he was a little bit better at that, wasn't he? Tommy's a politician, so he could cook it, but Jackie was a different world in the 90s, man. He was a different thing to mess with.
No, Jackie come in your house, he leaving with your child, all right? Yeah. This is what's going on.
Yeah, one way or another, Jackie's thinking he's going to castrate something on the way out.
He's Ben Garrett, who covers all things Ole Miss, the editor for the Ole Miss On 3 website. Ben, great stuff. Thanks for being with us.
Love you guys. Appreciate it. Smoot, you're the best, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, Ben, we got to get you back on here ASAP. You hear me?
Anytime, my friend. Anytime. Y'all got too many Ole Miss Rebels for this Cowboys fan. Hey, but I'm all on board, man. You hear me?
It's room on the bandwagon. Come on, baby. We got room for you.
I'm getting close because, buddy, I hadn't seen an NFC Championship game, let alone a Super Bowl, in 26 years. So, hey, you know what? I might have to jump on with you even more and become a fan and jump on that bandwagon too, man. Y'all got it going.
Come on with it, Ben. Thank you for coming brother.
Great stuff from Ben. Appreciate him being on the show and sharing his knowledge.
Yeah, you know, I rarely like to hear from Ole Miss people, but that makes me feel good.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.